Hello, I'm Dr. Jim Taylor, and welcome to episode 19 of my Crisis to Opportunity podcast. This episode is the third of four in which I explore how your investment in a crisis determines whether you respond positively or negatively to it. The topic for this episode is expectations to goals. When we're confronted by a crisis, we quickly develop certain perceptions about it. For some of us, our perceptions are positive and helpful. For others, they're negative and pessimistic. The way we view the crisis informs the expectations we set related to the crisis and how it turns out, either in our favor or quite the opposite. In either case, we then invest ourselves in these expectations, which often turns into overinvestment because the crisis is so important to us. In turn, our overinvestment interferes with how we respond. As you'll learn shortly, expectations are often the kiss of death when it comes to getting what you want in a crisis. Expectations carry so much psychological and emotional baggage that they usually do far more harm than good. From the business guru Zig Ziglar, it's not the situation, but whether we react negative or respond positively to the situation that's important. A dictionary definition of expectations is a strong belief that something will happen in the future, a belief that someone will or should achieve something. When a crisis arises, it's natural to show hope by establishing an expectation that the crisis will pass and the consequences will not be dire. At the same time, setting this expectation may seem like a pretty good idea because it suggests confidence that the expectation can be fulfilled. Such expectations may have been reasonable during primitive times, as crises were clear and resolution was immediate. However, for today's crises, these expectations can feel more like a burden that may actually prevent you from having the positive resolution that you want. Let's first explore the meaning and implications of expectations in light of a crisis. First, expectations have a sense of certainty, an assumption that you will get a particular result. For example, I expect this crisis to resolve itself. Unfortunately, as anyone who has ever experienced a crisis knows, there is little certainty in contemporary crises, as there is so much that's unknowable, unpredictable, and uncontrollable that often turns expectations on their head. Second, with this sense of inevitability that comes from having certain expectations, one can feel that the expectation has already been fulfilled. To better illustrate this concept, go back to when you were, say, 8 years old. Your birthday is coming up in a few months, and there is a toy that you really, really want. So you tell your parents, in no uncertain terms, that you want it for your birthday. In doing so, you create the expectation that you will get the present. Now, for the several months leading up to your birthday, you think about the gift, see it, feel it, touch it, and play with it. In your mind, you already have it. Your birthday arrives, and you open your presents, only to find that you didn't get the gift that you had expected. How do you feel? Devastated. But why do you feel so badly? Not because you didn't get the present. You would have only felt disappointed then. Instead, you felt beyond terrible because in your mind and in your heart, you already had the present and your parents ripped it out of your hands. Therein lies one of the dangers of expectations. Third, there is an implicit threat that lies hidden in every expectation, almost as if there is an invisible ... or else at the end of any expectation. For example, I expect to succeed, or else I will be terribly embarrassed. Now, sometimes the or else may not be clear, but having an expectation puts you in a position where you feel that you absolutely must fulfill it, or something bad will happen. As a result, expectations create stress and pressure at a time when you feel enough of both from the crisis itself. Fourth, expectations are all or nothing propositions. There is no gray area around them. You either fulfill the expectation and succeed, or you don't and you fail. This means that there is only a small opportunity to succeed and a very large chance of failure. Finally, expectations have a very complicated relationship with emotions. When I ask people about expectations, their reactions are pretty much the same. They frown, grimace, and get uncomfortable. They say things like, I hate it when people expect things from me. Or, when I build up expectations about something, I feel like I'm setting myself up for failure. Expectations take a big emotional toll on us, particularly during a crisis when the volume on our emotional life is already turned way up. They produce emotional reactions that feel bad and usually interfere with a positive response to a crisis. Positive expectations, that is, anticipating a good outcome, can create pressure to fulfill the expectations and fear that you won't, which creates a threat reaction that hurts your efforts to respond to the crisis. Conversely, negative expectations that you established, I'm doomed, create a self-fulfilling prophecy that impairs your confidence and motivation to confront the crisis. Both types of expectations limit your efforts to resolve the crisis as they produce a cautious mindset fueled by fear, stress, poor confidence, and an inability to focus. From William Shakespeare, expectation is the root of all heartache. In a crisis, you may not even be aware that you're establishing expectations that can hurt you. So I'm going to give you some tips to help you figure out when you begin to establish unhealthy expectations. There are 6 truly cringeworthy phrases I hear from people when they're experiencing a crisis because they are big red flags of expectations. I must. I have to. I need to. I should. I better. I gotta. Try saying these 6 phrases out loud and see how you feel. Just saying them causes me to tense up and feel this immense weight of expectations on my shoulders. They exemplify a crisis mentality with an unhealthy dose of desperation thrown in because there is no room for error. What makes these phrases so unpleasant is that they are all followed by that implicit threat that I mentioned. For example, I must resolve this crisis or my life is over. The meaning you attach to not being able to fulfill your expectations related to a crisis determines the specific threat you'll feel. Regardless of the threat, it feels bad and it prevents you from having a positive response to a crisis. If you become aware that you're using any of these 6 phrases, you can replace them with much more beneficial alternatives, such as, I would like to, it is my goal to, I'm working hard to, I'm directing all of my energy to, I'm excited to, and finally, I am hopeful that. Now, try saying these 6 phrases and see how you feel. When I say them, I feel positive, empowered, and motivated. These are clearly different reactions compared to the 6 phrases I described above. These phrases illustrate the power of an opportunity psychology. From Tommy Lasorda, the World Series winning manager, pressure is a word that is misused in our vocabulary. When you start thinking of pressure, it's because you've started to think of failure. So I hope I've convinced you that expectations will do you no good as you attempt to resolve a crisis. But let's be realistic. Your efforts at overcoming the crisis may be Herculean and worthy of admiration, but if you don't actually surmount it, then there's little benefit to your efforts. So my challenge is to give you a better alternative than expectations for you to continue to aim for a desired outcome related to a crisis. My solution is to have you focus on goals, not expectations. On the surface, there might seem to be little difference between goals and expectations, but they're vastly different animals. Let's explore some of the differences that separate goals from expectations. Let's start with the power of goals. Goal setting is actually wired into us. It's helped us survive and thrive since we were cave people 250,000 years ago. Goals have been responsible for many of the great developments that have gotten us to where we are today in contemporary society. Setting, working toward, and achieving goals are rewarding to us. As a result, we feel pride, inspiration, and excitement in putting in the effort and seeing our efforts reach fruition, which causes us to set higher goals. Unlike expectations and their air of certainty, goals are all about the possibility of accomplishment as long as we stay positive and committed and give our best effort. Another great thing about goals is that they aren't black and white like expectations. Rather, they're about degree of attainment. Not every goal can be achieved, but there will almost always be improvement toward a goal, and that progress defines success. So, there's little chance of failure and a great opportunity for success if you give your best effort. When I ask people about goals, they convey a very different reaction than about expectations. Their faces perk up and they say things like, it means I decide to do something and I want to work really hard to do it. Here's an example to illustrate the difference between an expectation and a goal. As I discussed earlier, the Great Recession of the late 2000s had a devastating impact on many people's financial lives. Let's say you had an investment portfolio of $500,000 before the financial crisis struck, and your nest egg for your retirement plummeted to $200,000 in its immediate aftermath. After the initial shock of this dramatic decline, you create an expectation of returning your portfolio to its initial $500,000 level within 2 years. After 2 years, your portfolio rose to $400,000. You fail to meet your expectation and feel deep disappointment that you fell short. By contrast, if a return to your previous level was your goal, then you still feel pretty good because you see an improvement and upward trajectory in your portfolio, even though your goal wasn't fully realized. The emotional experience of goals is also very different from those of expectations. When you set goals, you feel motivated and excited to strive toward them. You see them as challenges to pursue rather than threats to avoid. If you succeed in achieving your goal, you feel elated. While you certainly feel some disappointment if you fail to meet your goal, you also feel some pride in knowing that you gave it your all, and you remain hopeful that you can achieve the goal in the future. So, if you're going to set something related to results in a crisis, set goals, not expectations. But that's not enough. There's another step you must take that will increase your chances of success even more in overcoming a crisis. Once you've established goals for the crisis-related outcome you want, it's time to immediately shift from outcome goals to process goals for what you need to do to achieve your outcome goals. For example, let's say you sustain a serious leg injury in a car crash. You set a goal of being able to walk normally within 1 year. With that outcome goal established, you then set specific process goals for your physical therapy that your medical team believe will enable you to achieve that outcome goal. You've now successfully shifted your focus from outcome to process. From Tom Landry, the Super Bowl winning football coach, setting a goal is not the main thing. It's deciding how you will go about achieving it and staying with that plan. Once you have the what, decide on the how and stick with that plan until you achieve your goal. There are several key elements about process goals that distinguish them from outcome goals. First, if you achieve the process goals, you are very likely to achieve the outcome goals you set for yourself. This is because you've broken down your outcome goal into manageable steps that increase the likelihood that you will give a sustained and consistent effort in pursuit of those goals. Second, process goals are entirely within your control, which means that you have the power to accomplish them. This isn't always true of outcome goals. You can only exert some degree of control over the outcome by giving your best effort in pursuit of your process goals. In other words, when you achieve your process goals, you're more likely to achieve your outcome goals. And I'll describe a goal-setting program in a future episode. From Bruce Lee, the martial arts legend, "The great mistake is to anticipate the outcome of the engagement. You ought not to be thinking of whether it ends in victory or defeat. Let nature take its course." I'm Dr. Jim Taylor, and thanks for listening to episode 19 of my Crisis to Opportunity podcast. And be on the lookout for episode 20 in the near future.